Tonight's drash. Drash is a Yiddish for a short blurb on the evening, only one page. The Lord entitled it, A Night of Experiencing His Forgiveness. A Night of Experiencing His Forgiveness. The first question that has been with me, because I spend hours rehearsing messages, sometimes during the night. Last night, it was from 3 to 4 a.m. And at some point I said, Lord, I can't preach it to my own self. I need to get some sleep. So decided I would pray a repetitive prayer, like the Our Father prayer. And somewhere around the fifth repetition, I went to sleep. I'm not ashamed to say that. I'd rather pray. I just asked him, Lord, you said that you give sleep to your beloved. So I'm your beloved Tony right now, and I need some sleep. And I'm going to pray the way that Yeshua said we should pray. And I started praying that way. And I don't remember the rest of it. I know I had done it like four times, which is awesome. The question that kept coming over and over, I'm going to try to fix this so it doesn't move around so much. Big pin, but it's only one pin. So how important is repentance in Judaism? How important is repentance in Judaism? So I did a little bit of research on that question. How important is repentance in Judaism? Because this is the day of repentance in Judaism. Because this is a day of national repentance in Judaism. And if no other time the Jews do this, they will do it tonight. They come tonight with a willing heart to practice repentance. I sent a little message to Rabbi Feinberg, the author of the head theologian over the New Testament version of the TLV. And he wrote back that he's writing right now a drash on this weekend's parasha, Hazinu. And what he said, which is very interesting, he said, you are proof that Jews around the world are seeking forgiveness on this Yamim Noraim, on this day, awesome day of Yom Kippur. So according to Jewish thought, without the possibility of repentance, the world could not exist. Because, as our common experience makes it all too clear, we tend to stumble more than we stride. We tend to mess up more than we go straight. So if there were no possibility of wiping the slate clean, man could have no hope of rising above his frequent sins. You'd be mired in your sins on a continual basis. They would always remain, if they're not done away with, to condemn you. They would always be speaking. Many of us have experienced that. It becomes a form of guilt. Let me say that typically it's false guilt. Because all we do is boo-hoo and say how bad we feel and so on, and not necessarily do something about it. And it's really easy to have a pity party. It's really easy to say, well, you know, I was young when this happened, or whatever excuse it is, you know, I just lost it for 5 minutes. But are you going to leave it lost? if they stay there, they always condemn you. And they never allow you to escape inevitably the inevitability of judgment and punishment. Because we think, just focus on just the negative and what we've done. For this reason, the writers in Judaism say that Shuvah, which is the word for repentance, Shuvah, appropriately in modern Judaism, means to give an answer, to respond to a question. Well, I think that's really good. Because Adonai has written his Torah, and he's written his Tanakh, and he's written his new Brit Hadashah. And those words speak, whether we read them, whether we acknowledge them, it does not matter. These are the words of an eternal being, of an eternal God. Whatever he says, the entire world is prepared to acknowledge. Sadly, the rocks, according to Scripture, are more capable sometimes to respond to Adonai than our hardened heart or our prideful heart or a heart that just wants to stay there. Look, if the car gets in the mud puddle and it can't get out, you're not going to go anywhere. Not going to go anywhere. And often, you have to call for somebody with a tractor, somebody with a wrecker, pull out your AAA card. Oh, I let it expire. Well, then pull out your $250, which is what it costs you to be towed, and get you out of the mud. Perhaps you can talk some people into going in the mud and pushing the car out. But they have to fight the mud, and the car fights them as well. And it actually turns out to be very, very difficult to push a car out of the mud. You'd like to ask some of the people in South Florida what it's like to have their vehicle underwater. So for this reason, Shuvah, that concept of Shuvah, of repentance, had to be created before the universe. Because, this is the logic, Elohim would not create a world that was doomed from its inception. In Revelation 13 and 8, we see that it says, all who dwell on the earth shall worship him, meaning the Lord. Everyone whose name has not been written from the foundation of the world in the book of life of the Lamb who was slain. So, let me just say the following, if I read this literally. Everyone on the earth will worship him, including everyone who has not had their name yet written in the Lamb's book of life. The answer is, everybody's going to acknowledge that Yeshua is Lord. Every knee will bow, it says, and every tongue will confess. That's acknowledgement that Yeshua is Lord. Even those whose name is not written in the book of life. So would you rather be acknowledged from the not being written position or acknowledged from the written in position? Do you suppose there's a difference? And do I need to explain that difference? Probably not. So in Jewish thought, in Jewish understanding, the possibility of repentance always exists. Like it was said before, in fact, it must exist. Repeating the original statement, it must exist. Now Elohim set aside times that he shared with his people, this is an opportunity for you to draw closer to me. And we can sing this song. If you draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to you. By the way, that song sings a portion of a scripture in Deuteronomy. Very interesting. Elohim has been waiting from Elul 1. And then through the first 10 days of Tishri, those 10 days are called Yamim Noraim, to return. In fact, in their writings, it says he is expectantly waiting for his people to return. What an awesome God we serve. For his people and believers to return to his embrace. They say he is more responsive at this time. When I read that, I picture the father waiting for the wayward son in Luke. Huh? That father's waiting for that son, and he's not deterred. The scripture in the New Testament, Luke writes details that he's like looking everywhere for him. And he's unfazed by the rest of his household or his oldest son who's still there. Because it wasn't the oldest one. The oldest one, the oldest one, tends to be more submissive to our parents. It's number two and above that begin to lose some of that, according to tendencies anyway. And so the older son, you know, like, come on, Dad, let's go have a cold one. I don't say what it is, you know, so just a cold one, be a cold glass of water, whatever you like. But the father was undeterred and kept waiting. And before the son could get properly into the jurisdiction of his father, while he was yet afar, the scripture says, and he saw him, he began to welcome him. Before that son could hear him, before that son could say anything, the scripture, see, we are looking at it like the bystanders, and we're not looking at it like the son. The son is not seeing this. For all, since he's not hearing him, right? For all he could see his father saying or doing something, he'd go, oh no. Right? That's how we usually interpret. Oh no. He's talking to himself. Oh my goodness, what am I gonna do? I know what I'm gonna do. What I had decided to do, I'm gonna really do it. I'm gonna run and fall on his feet and beg him for forgiveness. Again, the scripture records all that for us. But Adonai, like that father, because Yeshua said, likewise will my father be. Like that father, awaiting his wayward son, when the son begins to make the trek to come, as soon as he's nearby, near enough to be able to be seen, so to speak, the father starts the celebration. Before you've even gotten there. My friends, that's exactly a picture of tonight for a lot of you. That's exactly the picture of Adonai that I want to impress upon you tonight. I don't know the state of everyone's heart here. And I don't want to speculate. I just want to say that Adonai, he is more attentive, like that father in the book of Luke, and he wants to embrace that son. He regards our failure to respond to this opportunity if instead that son gets near where he can see the fence and does the turn around, bye-bye, Miss American Pie. It's just not like some of us do when it comes to the Lord. We're supposed to get close to Him, but we are groping with our own inner words. You say, well, no, He's really having a hard time. So are many of you having a hard time. But as far as the Father is concerned, He's already planning for the embrace. He's already planning for the reconciliation. He's already planning in His mind what He's going to do and how He's going to bless this son. And what is He going to say to the other son and to anybody else who wants to say, why are you wasting your time on that wayward son? He didn't care nothing about you. It's almost as He wants to say that first brother, on the other hand, I've been here all the time. What are you going to do for me? The writings say that Adonai considers that as a transgression of uncommon magnitude. You see, the book of Proverbs says that wisdom was with him at the beginning. Have you read those verses? And she would rejoice with him in the mornings. And he would walk, and wisdom was having a great time. But wisdom wasn't alone. Wisdom had, at least with her, Shuva. And Shuva is also rejoicing with him in the morning. The Shuva is also being right there with him and seeing all of his glory and all those things and understanding that he doesn't need that. But see, so he loved the world, huh? Last, on Saturday in Parashat Vayelech, we were commanded to consider our ways. See, I lay before you death and life. Choose life that you and your children may live thereof. A lot of us are so selfish that all we can think about is ourselves. And we don't consider those around us, whether it be our children, whether it be our wives. When we get in that kind of state, we tend to be very self-focused. This was serious. This was not a joke. So among the last, very last words Moses spoke before them when they stood by the River Jordan. The promised land is on the other side, and they were about to enter it. And I said, Saturday, as a congregation, we're also standing before him, before our future, which is our promised land. We're also standing before him about our future. You say, well, no, I've entered the promised land. I understand. We have entered the promised land by the blood of the Lamb, and I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit, and you want to, whatever you want to say. But we have much more than just me. There's a future that the Lord has for the country, and there's a future the Lord has for our children, and we are to play a part in that. We're not divorced from that. It's not about us. It's about everything that comes after us. It is time that we do like our ancestors did when they were facing the reality and the shortcomings of their sin. Because when you see the promised land, you see the river, you see all of that, you go, how many times did I grumble in 40 years? 40 years times 12, 480 months. Okay? Times 10 would be 4,000. Multiply that by 3, that would be the number of days in a month. 3 times 5 is like 15,000 minus 600. 14,400. How would you like that number? How do you like that number? 144. It's saying, you can't help it. Even it's not written down. Even when he gives it right now, he has so much more meaning of what he's saying. I would like to challenge us tonight. This is what young people do. This is a statement from our current generation. I'm challenging you. I'm challenging you today to get your affairs right. To get your affairs right with one another individually and as a congregation. And be what the scripture that I didn't preach on this because I could have. I already had done it. Hazak, be courageous, which is written right in Parashat Vayelech, which was there Saturday. Now here's some of the things the Lord was giving to me. Probably there's no greater suffering in the life of a person than the pain of being wronged by a brother or sister. Whether it's biological or in the Lord, it doesn't really matter. When it's a brother or a sister or a relative, and they wrong you in some way, it's a big deal. Because it creates a large amount of suffering. And I don't care who you are. You could be the toughest guy out there. Or the most ornery person in the world. When that happens to you, it hurts. And it hurts deep. But I want to remind us of the following. That kind of suffering can be a reminder that we have violated his ways. That we have made him feel like that. That we have turned our backs on him. That we have been his sons and daughters. We have turned aside and just sorry. I can't imagine. Praise the Lord that my three children continue to serve God and to honor their father. And in one case, the mom is right here. But for the other one, she's a stepmom. He tells her, I love you all the time. And she tells him, I love you. I would not have any children if it weren't for you. And you can ask her, why does she say that? I don't want to say. The Bible says in verse 71 of Psalm 119, it is good for me that I was humbled. It is good for me that I was afflicted, is another word, so that I may learn your decrees. So the Bible acknowledges that sometimes there is a positive bent to those kinds of things. Let me also say that suffering can be Adonai's way to draw others to himself. Again, it's written in the scripture. I'm not just quoting baloney here. It's in verse 18 of 1 Peter 3. For Messiah once suffered for sins also. The righteous for the unrighteous. In order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh. But made alive by the Ruach. So what is we supposed to do? We're supposed to have this suffering and just boohoo. Have a pity party. Ignore that person. Write them off. I'll be the next time I talk to you. Or whatever else we can conceive of. That's not our calling. That is not our calling. That is not our calling. Because our calling when one person offends us is to forgive them. Immediately, if possible. So we can be forgiven by Adonai himself. Let me say that again. Our calling is to forgive our offender so that we can be forgiven ourselves. Is that in the Bible? Of course it is. I recited it at least four times yesterday before I fell asleep. this morning. Verse 12 of Matthew chapter 6, part of the Lord's Prayer. And forgive us our debts. Sometimes that's trespasses. As in the same manner, we have also forgiven our debtors. Or in another version, those who trespass against us. After this manner, pray ye. And forgive us our trespasses, our sins, what we've done wrong. In the same manner, okay, that we ourselves are forgiven. So how many of you think you earned it? How many of you have the chutzpah to stand by the cross and say, okay, go ahead and do it so I can have it? How many of us have the chutzpah to say, okay, we show up here on Yom Kippur and all we're going to do is click something, mark something. By golly, don't you know that Adonai is here tonight and he's expecting every single one of us to acknowledge him and to say, I have trespassed. Please forgive me. I'm trying to stay calm. And not add to this word here. So I want to ask you a question. Why did you show up tonight? Oh, some of you can say, well, he said so. Okay? I think he really was looking for more. Not just that I said so. But I need you. I need to say to you, in the company of my brothers and sisters, I have failed big time. Big time. Will you forgive me, Lord? So why are you here? Why are you here on Yom Kippur? You can say, oh, because we seek forgiveness for our nation, both the U.S. and Israel. Right? This is the National Day of Reconciliation for Israel. That's a correct statement, right? Are you a member of the U.S.? Oh. So we must ourselves practice releasing our debtors so that Adonai can release us as the first fruits of repentance for our nation. There's got to be a beginning. My friend, I'm submitting to you that you are, in a sense, that beginning. This is where the nation turns around, because we, who are part of the nation, are ready, willing, and able to say to him, not to me, not to Marilyn, not to Dan, say to him, I was wrong. Please forgive me. Let me make a statement. I don't have much to go. It must always begin with us. It must always begin with us. It must always begin with us. Well, are we going to wait for another one? Please. The time for the acting, the time for all of that is long past. We have come into this house on Adonai's day of repentance. And we said it, we are not so arrogant to say, this is one of the prayers earlier, we're not so arrogant to say before you, we have not sinned. The prayer, which is drawn from Scripture. No, we're not so arrogant to come before the Lord and say, well, it's not for me. Well, he says, not for you. With all due respect, why are you here? Certainly wasn't for all the music. Certainly wasn't for all the dancing. Certainly wasn't for what you get to eat today. What's the oneg? It's a wonderful oneg. It costs nothing. Why are we here? That's a great question. I was asked that question as well. Why are you doing all of that? It was almost like a dialogue with the Lord. It caught me by surprise. Because when the weariness of what is entitled in making two complete services and a message and the music for 2 days between Sunday and Monday is a lot. And I do get tired. And sometimes I get tired and go, I don't. You know, if I had children, it would have been worse. Because mom would have come over and said, we need you to make a decision. And like, you know, the cat only meowed. Mom heard it and she went and fed him. And I didn't hear him no more. Thank you, Lord. So, I'm asking a question. What is Adonai expecting of you? Not I. What is Adonai expecting of you? What is he expecting his congregation to do? And what is his kind of forgiveness? Let me tell you the following. He is not expecting us to pardon our offenders. Please get that straight. The Lord is not expecting you to pardon your offenders because you're not an authority to grant pardons. In the state of Florida, only Governor DeSantis, and in the United States, only President Biden. And it pains me to say that. That's what it is. He can forgive. He can pardon. Not forgive, different word, different meaning altogether. You, on the other hand, you don't have that authority. Only the Lord has that authority. In other words, it's not about pardoning. It's not a pardon. Forgiveness is releasing an offender emotionally. Pardon requires an authority, like Adonai, who has jurisdiction over the matter to cancel out the consequences. You know what we're here to get? A pardon for our country. Because it doesn't deserve it. We don't either. We don't have that kind of jurisdiction. Relax, you got MasterCard, okay? It's not like, oh, they're gonna just go off debt free and suffer nothing or whatever. You don't know. It's none of your business. You turn it over to the court of heaven, and let the righteous judge, Yeshua, and the righteous king make the determination. As for us, we want to be straight with him. We want to have fellowship with him. We want to enjoy his embrace. He has that kind of jurisdiction. We don't. Second thing about forgiveness. Forgiveness frees Adonai to reward us unexpectedly. Can I say that again? Forgiveness frees Adonai to reward us unexpectedly. You know, sometimes people say, well, I don't ever get nothing from the Lord. maybe you don't see, you know, enough. Well, you know, every breath that I have comes is a gift from him, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But do you suppose that, like that father, he's ready to have a party for us? It's only if you have relationship with him. It's only if you get close enough to want to fall at his feet and him hold you up and say, kiss you and say, I've been waiting for you. Let's rejoice because my lost son, daughter, whatever, is back. That, you know why that is? Because his forgiveness sees an offender's needs and also sees that Adonai has a better plan. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will surely repay. So, in closing, we need to release him. We need to allow him to do this kind of great work in us. So are you ready to experience his forgiveness? I'd like to share a prayer with you. It is written in the scripture God, I know that I am a sinner. And I truly repent for the sins I have committed. I know that my trespasses and my sins put distance between you and us. I also know that I'm in dire need of a Savior. Only your Son Yeshua can save me and eliminate the distance between us. Please read the rest. I believe Yeshua. Not sure if when you say those things, if they're efficacious or not. The Bible has an answer. And here it comes. On the next slide. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the reason is that because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, that means anybody here, whosoever, anybody here. Oh no, but I was raised Catholic. Oh no, but you know, I was raised Baptist. Oh no, but I was raised whatever I was raised. I was raised Jewish. Does it really matter what you were raised? Does it really matter? Does it really matter? Okay? It doesn't really matter because it's not about what somebody else did. It's not about the training. It's not about all those things. It's about us right now, this moment in this place. And it's as simple as go back to page 2. But for if you confess with your mouth that Yeshua is Lord, well, here's what I had you say. I believe Yeshua is your son who died on the executioner's stake for my sins and rose from the dead. I receive him as my Savior and accept your offer of forgiveness and everlasting life. Thank you, Father. In Yeshua's name I pray, amen. That prayer is the acknowledgement of what the scripture said right here. And the reason is not even for us. The reason is that he loved the entire world in such a way that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. My friend, if you said that prayer, if you just repeated it like a tiki bird, even if you did that, you just prayed the prayer of salvation. The scripture says, if you pray the prayer, you're saved. It's so sad to me that religion of man has relegated what is God's to denominations. The only one that can declare you is him in his word. He is the only propitiation. He is the only atonement. There is none other. You know that is written in the information for whether it's the Catholic, the Episcopalian, the Lutheran, the Baptist, the Methodist. That is written there. I could show it to my mom from the Catholic Bible. John 3:16 is the same in the Catholic Bible as it is in the Protestant Bible. So I said, let's read your Bible, Mom. And it read the same words as it reads here. It's him who is important. Him who said, I will forgive you. And you know what? If you have said that, even if you're not so sure, what did you get into? You just got into fulfilling what Yom Kippur was all about. You just got into coming into his presence tonight in this place and saying, Lord, I want to be part of you. I want to eliminate the distance and I want you to be my friend, my buddy, my company, my Lord, which is what the word Adonai means, my Lord. So let's stand. The psalm records it this way. How blessed are those whose offense is forgiven, those whose sin is covered. Day and night your hand was heavy upon me. The sap in me dried up as in a summer drought. Selah.
I acknowledge my sin to you, and I stop concealing
my guilt. And you forgave your guilt. Because Yeshua, our Messiah, died and rose for us and rose from the dead, we can now say, Sefer Lechaim Olam Katavnu. We have been inscribed in the book of life forever. Since Joe, I'll need you to come blow the shofar. You asked me already, and you're ready. Generally, this is not done in the night service. I also want to leave that off. The Holy Spirit said no. Okay, we're not leaving it. It's right there. It's with my kippah. Dan, would you open the ark a minute, please? While Dan is doing that, let me remind you, this is a Shemitah year. If you reckon the year starting in Tishri 1, then last year was the shofar blast of the declaration of release. But if you do the year starting in Nisan 1, Aviv 1, then this is that. As I pondered this idea in my mind, the Lord said, are you that convinced that you had it right? I said, no. Well, if you think that they might give you $1,000 if you show up, would you not show up? Well, let's make it big, more than $1,000. Let's make it $100 million. Would you show up? Well, no. The year ended already, and this is over. And you go, I better reconsider this. Because since I'm not given the knowledge of Daniel to interpret the times, and I'm relying upon others to do so, perhaps. What if they're wrong? What if everybody that shows up gets their $100 million and I can sit at home saying, well, I didn't show up because I didn't think it was. Duh. So we're going to do it tonight and tomorrow. Just in case some of you are not able to come back. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod, Malchuto Leolam Vayed. So therefore, because it is written in the scripture that at the sound of the shofar, at the long sound, Tekiyah Gdolah, sound of the shofar in Yom Kippur, you are released from all your sins, if you asked. Let at the sound of the shofar receive your Shemitah release. Amen. Hallelujah. I wrote my partner, I spoke about him not long ago, the university, Dr. Eric Schwartz. And I sent him a greetings today, and he wrote me back. I thought it was awesome. Because in writing me back, I want to read it for you. Where do you go? Okay. I said, wishing you a very special Yom Kippur in 5783. His response, Gemar Hatima Tova. Gemar Hatima Tova. That is the Israeli blessing for Yom Kippur. We're going to learn it. As I say unto you, Gemar Hatima Tova. May you have an awesome experience with the Lord this coming year. May your this would be a drastic change for you. Leave tonight expecting that the closeness with Adonai is going to bring tremendous changes for you in your life. It do not measure, you know, it's like this is a Shabbat Shabbaton. Okay, so on Shabbat, you don't think about the day before. You don't think about the week before. It's over. It's done. So from tonight on, we just think about what's ahead of us. And what's ahead, for those of you that have made that leap, what's ahead for you, once you've said those words, whether you said them tonight or you said them a long time ago and reaffirmed them tonight, what's ahead for you is none other than the embrace of the Father and the things that He has planned for you and for me. Yevarechech Adonai v'yishmerecha Ya'er Adonai panaveilecha v'chunecha Yisa Adonai panaveilecha Ve'asem lecha shalom. Adonai bless you and keep you. Adonai make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Adonai lift up His countenance upon you. May He grant you shalom. You are dismissed. There's no food or anything like that because we're in a total.